another episode of the Tearsheet podcast, where we explore financial services together with an eye on technology, innovation, emerging models, and changing expectations. I'm Tearsheet Editor-in-Chief, Zach Miller. And today I'm thrilled to bring you an exclusive conversation with Terry O'Neill, a payments leader at Citi, responsible for spearheading embedded payments and strategic initiatives. Terry provides insights into Citi's approach to embedding a wide array of financial products, including payment solutions, private label offerings, and lending products, directly into the fabric of merchants' point-of-sale systems. Join us as we unravel the complexities of streamlining integration processes for merchants, meaning evolving consumer demands for flexibility and choice, and navigating the convergence of physical and digital commerce. Get ready for an engaging exploration of how embedded payments are impacting the way businesses engage with customers and drive sales. Without further ado, let's embark on this captivating journey into the realm of embedded payments. Here's my conversation with Terry. Great. So who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Zach. I'm Terry O'Neill. I am responsible for embedded payments and strategic initiatives at Citi. To give you sort of a little bit more detail on what that means, it really is about how we think about embedding payment products, private label products, general purpose credit card products, and lending products into merchants' point of sale, but also how we think about those connection points, how we ensure that we're streamlining how merchants integrate products with Citi, making sure that it is easy, that it is intuitive, doesn't require a heavy tech lift, and most importantly, that our products can be consumed wherever a merchant currently executes payments.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Same here. Thank you.
So let's open it up right there, right where you started. How do you look at how Citi embeds products at the merchant level? And maybe we can get an overview of what products you offer and the momentum behind them.
Absolutely. You know, I guess I'll start that question by saying we've been in the point of sale financing space for quite a bit of time. Our longest tenured partnership is going on its 37th year.
I was going to say it's probably in terms of decades, right?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. And you know, that really influences how we think about embedded payments. Most importantly, we think about it first and foremost from the merchant's point of view. In our DNA is that we're here to help our merchants drive sales completions, drive average order value, and make sure that we provide them with the right optionality and flexibility that their consumers may be seeking. We also like to say and embed in our culture that we operate at the speed of retail, which means we have to move quickly and swiftly to ensure that we are helping our merchants drive sales. You know, how that sort of manifests itself in products is we've been in private label and co-brand, to your earlier point, for decades. And we've invested a lot in technology and how merchants integrate with us. And that's traditionally been in a very bespoke way, highly customized products, highly customized integrations. And that's enabled us to serve some of the nation's largest retailers with very long tenured relationships. As we look at the market today, we believe that there's an opportunity to take the core tenets of what we offer and bring them to a much broader set of merchants, mid-market, direct-to-consumer manufacturers, direct-to-consumer brands, but do so through an expanded product set. So in addition to private label and co-brand, we launched last year digital lines of credit, as well as merchant installment loans, all under the Citi Pay brand. So again, leveraging the strength of the Citi brand in payments and leveraging capabilities in terms of point of sale lending to introduce these products to a broader set of merchants and a broader set of consumers. But in order to do that, as you think about smaller merchants, direct consumer brands, or even mid-market merchants, the idea of having a large bespoke integration that requires technical investment on both sides is not as tenable. So that required us to really think about how we deliver products into the merchant's points of sale. And that led us down a path that said, in addition to introducing these new products to broaden the capabilities that we have, we also needed to streamline how merchants bring these products into the point of sale. And what that came out to is delivering products via APIs, delivering products via plugins, ensuring that the Citi Pay products are available on commerce platforms like Shopify, And also partnering with technology companies like ChargeAfter and FreedomPay to make it much easier for merchants to bring these products to their consumers. And what we've been able to do while we've been on this journey, in addition to building the products, is we've shortened our integration window, where it traditionally would take us 8+ months to do a bespoke integration. Our shortest integration with CityPay at this time is in, we're measuring it in days. So once a merchant decides to partner with us, they can bring these products into market very quickly, and be up and running with some of the best capabilities that we've been building over the past 3 decades.
So I want to pause the discussion around those enabler partnerships, because I do have more questions around that. But I want to go back to something you said, Terry, and that was moving at the speed of retail. And I'm just curious how retail services is able to do that in a larger organization, which has different speeds for different groups. Like culturally, I guess, what does that look like?
Yeah, the beauty of it is that, you know, because Citi Retail Services has been such a large part of Citi for so many decades, that we grew up building capabilities that enable us to do a couple of things. Decision a consumer's application for credit within split seconds. Deliver payment credentials into the merchant's point of sale immediately. Accept information like requested sale amount to help us underwrite the transaction and make sure that a consumer can buy what they're trying to buy when they're trying to buy it. So that's been part and parcel to who we are as a business, you know, and we've built capabilities over the years that, beyond enabling us to decision credit in seconds and to deliver payment credentials immediately, we've built out application processes like conversational user interface. So that if a merchant, you know, let's say a customer shopping in a logged in experience, if a merchant shares that logged in information with us, we'll pre-populate the application with the customer's name, address, city, state, zip, phone number, whatever information the merchant provides with us. That enables us to move the customer through the application at incredible speed. So we're asking them for, you know, a handful of pieces of information to process the application. With CityPay, we've accelerated that, right? We've leveraged a lot of what we've done in the past, but we've built upon it and really accelerated our conversational user interface capabilities. We move consumers from the merchant's shopping cart, or even the physical point of sale, into their own mobile device, where they can complete the application on their own mobile device, which makes consumers more comfortable because it's their information. We do an OTP authentication of them on their mobile device, so we address, you know, fraud concerns, and then we deliver the payment credentials right into the merchant. The other thing that's, I think, unique is that the consumer is selecting the payment terms that they're eligible for on their phone, or on their mobile device. So it makes it a very fluid experience, and it starts to pull what customers have come to expect in the digital arena into the physical arena, right? And what we've heard a lot from consumers in the research that we've done is, beyond expecting, you know, choice and flexibility in the payment, they want the same experience whether they're shopping your .com or shopping your physical stores. So again, because retail is in our DNA, right? We thought long and hard about how we bridge that divide between physical and digital. And, you know, one of the things that we really try to live and breathe by is, we say, you know, you never want to be the payment partner that is creating a line at Macy's or Best Buy or any of your other partners on Black Friday, right? You don't want to be the merchants that is causing that spinning wheel of death while someone's trying to buy something digitally. So everything that we do is really rooted in how quickly we move this customer through the application, how intuitive the design is, and ensuring that we're decisioning and providing those payment credentials in split seconds so that we can finish the transaction for the merchants.
It's so interesting, because like the success comes from, like you just described, Terry, like not sticking out, moving things faster, almost like create like removing the friction and being invisible in the whole process. I guess I don't know if there's parallels in other types of functionality like that, but that's an interesting point. I want to go back to the merchant enabler partnerships that you mentioned. I think you mentioned Shopify, FreedomPay, and ChargeAfter. Maybe you could talk about
Obviously, it's clear if you do one integration that, you know, it helps to reach a network of end merchants. But can you talk about some of the benefits and opportunities that come from those relationships and how that fits into your overall strategy?
Absolutely. The benefits we think through, partnerships with companies like Shopify and ChargeAfter and FreedomPay touch a lot of different areas. First and foremost is making it easy for a merchant to integrate payments. And that was a core tenet when we were building out the CityPay family of products is, we felt very strongly that if a merchant was being asked to do something differently than they do today, or being asked to integrate payments differently than they do today, that creates friction for the merchant. So by partnering with a company like Shopify, which is, large commerce platform where a lot of merchants operate, a merchant can pull the CityPay plugin down from Shopify. Now, what that means is if you're a merchant that decides to partner with Citi, is once you decide to partner with us and we, run through the merchant approval and provide you with approvals, we give you keys to download the products via Shopify. So it's a very easy integration. As I said, the last time we did this, like we've had merchants do it without our help at all, just by giving them the plugin information. They pull it down from Shopify and they pull down the marketing widget, which goes along with the payment plugin. And, within days, you'll see a CityPay logo on your product pages. You'll see a CityPay logo within your shopping cart. And along with that, you'll see suggested monthly payments, as well as all the promotional options that you would offer to the consumer. And if you look at some of the merchants that we're currently in market with, you see the CityPay bug, and then you say, you can buy this product for X dollars per month. So it makes it very easy for merchants to provide consumers with those payment options and the payment flexibility that they've been saying to merchants and issuers that they want, right? It gives you an opportunity to think about, if you're buying a dishwasher or a sofa or a gas grill, right? How does that fit within your monthly budget? You're not thinking about the total sale amount. You're thinking about, is this costing me $65 a month or $66 a month? So that's one of the benefits that we see from by if you think about FreedomPay and ChargeAfter, it's very similar in that it does a couple of things for us. The first is making it easier for merchants to consume the product. So a merchant can come to us via a commerce platform like Shopify. They can come to us via one of the partnerships we have with FreedomPay or ChargeAfter, and make it very easy for them to pull products in. In addition to that, it brings other capabilities to bear in terms of now starting to expose CityPay to a broader set of merchants. And these partnerships start to act as catalysts for us in ensuring that CityPay is very front and center when merchants are thinking about bringing payment optionality to their consumers.
Got it. And over the past year, I'd say in Tearsheet's coverage, we've had the TTS guys on a bit. It dovetails with our coverage because we have been talking a lot about embedded finance and things like that. And I'm just kind of curious from where you're sitting, Terry, how you utilize Citi's, internal resources to expand CityPay and some of the things you're working on.
I think one of the things that really differentiates us and provides an opportunity for us is exactly the depth and breadth of Citi and the various merchant relationships we have. We are very closely partnered with our colleagues in transaction services, specifically as it relates to Spring. We also have very deep relationships with our colleagues in the investment bank and in the commercial bank. And we think that there's a couple of opportunities. One for CityPay is to bring these payment products to organizations that Citi already has relationships with, be it in the commercial bank, the investment bank, or within transaction services. So we're very closely partnered with their sales teams and their relationship managers in making sure that our existing clients are aware of the products that we offer, both on the investment bank side and on the consumer bank side. And it wouldn't surprise you to hear that we'll often approach partners together to
Makes
demonstrate
sense.
to them how Citi can provide them really differentiated value across the payments chain, right? If you think about us providing processing capabilities to them, or us providing cash management capabilities to them, when you start to think about us operating the processing side and the payment side, there are a lot of different opportunities that start to open themselves up to our partners. And you know, beyond having a balance sheet that enables us to really operate through any economic situation and always provide our partners with payment capabilities, right? When you start to pull that across the investment bank and the consumer bank, and we're operating end to end on your payments continuum, there's a ton of value that we can and are unlocking for our partners. The other thing that I would call out for you is that Citi has so many different capabilities, right? Beyond, you know, Citi Pay and what we offer in the investment bank, we also have a vast branded cards business. Mm-hmm. Has capabilities like merchant funded offers, like our industry leading thank you platform. And that enables us to also expand the value that we bring to Citi's partners uniquely. And so we're very excited about the partnerships that we have across Citi because of the value that it unlocks for our merchant partners.
Great. And Terry, you mentioned you know, the launch of Citi Pay Credit and Citi Pay installment loans, right? Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing in point of sale lending and how that helps to serve merchants and customers as well?
Absolutely. You know, as we set out to build the product, or as we saw this as an opportunity for our business, right? The first thing that we wanted to do was spend time speaking to consumers and merchants to make sure that we were building something that met a stated market need. And I would say what we heard pretty loud and clear from the merchants that we spoke to and the consumers that we spoke to was that point of sale lending, or buy now, pay later, as you know, a term that's become very widely used, is here to stay. And beyond that, it's growing. And it's not specific to a certain demographic or a certain age group, right? It really does span demography and is growing. And it's really rooted in a couple of different things, right? Our research indicated that, you know, 90% of consumers want multiple payment options in the checkout. And oftentimes, if they don't see those options, they'll abandon the shopping cart. And an equal amount of them want to see payment flexibility. And as we dug into that, what that meant to them was, I want to see how much this product is going to cost me every month. I want to see what my terms are, or how many months I could expand this purchase, or what my interest rate might be. Because oftentimes, and we found this over the, you know, the 3+ decades that we've been in the business, is that a lot of these larger purchases are not planned purchases. You know, I went through this where my dishwasher broke, right? And it ends up being, you know, not an insignificant purchase, right? It's, you know, an $800 purchase. Fortunately, I was able to get it fixed. I didn't have to focus on that. But if you haven't planned for that, right, an average consumer might look at that and say, how can I fit this purchase, whether it's a refrigerator or a dishwasher, into my monthly budget? So they're thinking less about the, you know, $1,000 plus shopping cart, and they're thinking more about, is it $100 a month? Is it $75 a month?
Right. Can I fund it from my income? Right.
Can I fund it from my income? And how am I going to balance the terms and how long I want to pay that and the interest rate? So they're making those decisions real time as they're shopping. So that's why we really do feel that the products like the digital line of credit, which starts to take a lot of what we've done in private label over the years and bring them to consumers, it really democratizes private label capabilities, right? If you think about promotional financing, right? Taking something and having a 0% APR over 12 months or 18 months, or setting up a major purchase plan that says you can have this product for X dollars a month over 18 months is critically important to consumers as they're thinking about large unexpected or splurge items that they want to fit within their existing cash flow and within their existing budget. And the installment loan does the same. So I think first and foremost, we've heard loud and clear from consumers that they want that flexibility and they want that optionality and they want to be able to see how much the product's going to cost them every month. I think the other thing that was, you know, a little bit eye-opening to me, having, you know, been in this space for a long period of time and having seen a lot of the fintechs, you know, see some good growth and some good traction with consumers, is that an overwhelming percent, 9 in 10 consumers said to us that they'd rather use products like this from a well-established financial services company, which I didn't expect to see in the research.
Right. Interesting. They had an awareness of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because, you know, the feedback that they gave us as we double clicked on it was, you know, using Citi as an example, we know you. You know, it's highly likely that I might have one of your credit cards in my wallet, or I might bank with you. So I trust that my data is safe.
Trust, right.
Trust the transaction is going to be secure. And that all came out loud and clear in the research, which really solidified our original thinking around the concept and what helped us really design the products and make sure that we stayed true to what we were hearing from consumers and merchants.
Just for my understanding, the difference between the line of credit and installment loans, how do you differentiate between this? Because they're similar products, right?
Yeah, the line of credit is a digital line of credit. It's a revolving line.
A revolver. Okay.
I think what's exciting about that is that a consumer can apply for Citi Pay at one of our merchants. If they're applying for the digital line of credit, they'll be approved for a revolving line. And they can execute that transaction and put that transaction within whatever terms the merchant wants to make available to them. But if they're shopping again and they see Citi Pay again in a different merchant's point of sale, when they click on the Citi Pay logo, we'll do a real-time account lookup for them with just a few, like two pieces of information to confirm they are who they are saying they are. And we'll be able to execute that transaction. So they're not applying for a product every time they see the logo. When they have the digital line of credit, they're able to use that product across right. our network of merchants. And, you know, the other thing that I think is exciting about is, in addition to just being able to use it everywhere that you see the Citi Pay logo and take advantage of promotional financing or major purchase plans, or use your revolving line if that's what you choose to do, it really expands the idea of private label, where today private label is accepted only at one merchant. With Citi Pay, the private label concept starts to expand
the whole network, right?
In our network. And because the product can have over 100 pricing strategies on it, I think what we're finding is very unique about it is something that we're seeing in the pay in four space is it's very easy for a consumer to stack a lot of different pay in four obligations and maybe not have complete visibility to what kind of weekly or monthly obligation they're creating. Within CitiPay, they'll see it all in one place and they'll see their monthly payment across all of those different purchases in one place. So it starts to give them a better view of how they're using the product and where they're using the product and how their monthly obligations that they're creating could be adding up. So we think it gives them an opportunity to really start to think about how they're managing those different buy now, pay later ideas or payment ideas. The merchant installment loan is exactly that. It's an installment loan that we think fits better with a higher ticket. But we would approve the customer for the loan real time in the point of sale. And they would have different terms that are available to them from 6 months all the way out to 60 months. Based on the purchase, but it's a set amount, set monthly payment, and that's a single use product, right? So that's the primary difference between the two products. The digital line of credit operates across the network, whereas the loan would be a specific purchase at a specific point in time.
Got it. Thank you. We're nearing the end of our conversation, and I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on what you're seeing. I guess What are your priorities? What are you seeing in the market trends-wise, like for 2024, and I guess how your group and CityPay fit into that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, as I was saying earlier, I think beyond pay later capabilities being here to stay, they're going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. Seen that demand very real in this holiday season, and we're continuing to see the demand from consumers. I think what we would expect to see in 2024 is more of a push towards bridging the physical and the digital capabilities. Today, you know, buy now, pay later capabilities primarily exist in the digital space. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing from consumers that they want the capabilities that they see in digital in physical store. And they want to be able to use them as easily as they can use them in the digital space, which is why we spent a lot of time ensuring that, you know, these products operate the same and the customer's device is what drives the transaction, whether it's a physical or digital purchase, because we expect, you know, consumers are expecting to have that same flexibility in the physical store. So I see that becoming, I think, a pretty significant trend as we go into 24 and even in 25. And you know, we've got that firmly in our capabilities, and we'll continue to evolve that. You know, the other piece that I think we'll continue to see is more personalization. And I think that, you know, as more payment options become available, it's important that merchants think about a couple of things. I think how you present the different payment options and when you present them in the sales journey, so that you're being, you know, pinpointed and not creating too much optionality for the consumer, but presenting them with the options that are most relevant to them. So I think we'll start to see more personalization. And I think that merchants will start to also and should start to really ask questions about ongoing consumer loyalty. You know, this was, I guess, another point that I would make to you, you know, given how long we've been in the space and how we really think about operating at the behest of our merchant partners, a core component of that is how you drive ongoing purchases and repeat purchases and bring consumers back into the merchants. And I think our merchant partners are starting to think a lot more about how pay later capabilities drive repeat purchases and feed into their loyalty ecosystem, as opposed to taking a consumer out of their loyalty ecosystem and creating a consumer for a payment provider, right? Mm-hmm. Our strategies are all underpinned in how do I bring that consumer back into the merchant that originated that consumer? How do I create tools similar to what I have today in private label and co-brand so that a merchant can engage with those customers and bring them back through their doors as opposed to losing them from their loyalty ecosystem? So I think that'll be another key trend.
It's been great to talk to you, Terry. Thanks. And good luck in 2024. It sounds like you have some big goals ahead of you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. It was great speaking with you too.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. Take care.